This recording,
Zimbabwe
1, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Comma Gets a Cure. Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and much more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit and headed for work. When she got there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for her name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bath the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much," but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. My background, I was born in 1941 in England, in Leicester, right in the middle of England. I had an older brother and a younger sister. My father was in the war, in the Second World War, and he was a pilot who was employed by the RAF to be a test pilot in Rhodesia. And they used Rhodesia because it had 300 flying days per year. Whereas in England, I think it was like 30 flying days per year. So he got a taste of the good life, and at the end of the war, he first of all became qualified as a shoe designer, and then we all shipped off to Rhodesia for the good life. And the son, my mother had arthritis, and I think the son was a big draw card. I was 13 at the time. I'd been schooled at a grammar school in Leicester, so it wasn't a big problem to incorporate schooling in Rhodesia because it was a Cambridge external exam-based British system. So it was not a big, except for they made me do history and geography, which I hadn't done. I'd done rather languages. I did Italian. I think I did French and Latin. Instead of all the languages, they made me do history and geography, which I subsequently should have enjoyed, but I didn't. But anyway, that was that. At the end of school, I went to university. I wanted to do medicine. I did the first year of medicine under a bursary scheme given by the government of Rhodesia and Nyasaland when there was a federation, but then the federation broke up after my first year, And I lost my bursary. So then I went into radiography and I was able to support myself as a radiographer. So that's about it.